Let me pose a question. If you could go back in time and freeze it, where things pretty much stayed the same for the rest of your life, what time of your life would that be?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
I know that's kind of a strange question, but there's a reason I'm asking it, because the other morning I woke up, it was just before daylight, and I was thinking about the world in which we live in today. And I'm trying to compare the times today to other periods in my life. Times that seemed a lot more stable, a lot more free. And I realized in many ways there's some truth to that, but there's also what we tend to forget. And I'm going to share some thoughts on that on the program today, not perhaps in the first part, but I am going to share that a little bit later on. A couple of things I want to say right here at the beginning of the program before getting into some news items that I've been running across and thinking about sharing. I want to thank those that are letting me know that you're listening on shortwave radio. It's very important right now. Each month, we have a substantial amount that we have to pay out to the stations that we are on. And I'm concerned if we're making a good investment in some of the air times and even some of the frequencies and stations. And I just need to know before we get to the end of this month and have to go ahead and pay for April. We have some bills to pay right now, which we're getting ready to do later this week. But just so you know, I just want to know which station you're listening to. And a number of you have taken the time to let me know that you're listening on shortwave. The program continues to grow as a podcast, and we're thankful for that as well. And so if you listen as a podcast, let me know too. Currently, I'm putting it out in two basic places. One is called Anchor, which then distributes it to Apple Podcasts and a number of other locations, Spotify. And we're also using Spreaker. Now, Spreaker costs more than Anchor. A lot more. I can do Anchor essentially for free. And so I'm wondering, do I need to keep both podcast sources, particularly when I'm considering using some of the, shall we say, other social media sites as another alternative to using something like Spreaker. There are a couple that I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it. One is Gab. And if we had a premium membership there, we could probably go ahead and load the program from Gab as well. There's also another one that I've been invited to, and we're beginning to set up and use. It's called Dan's Gate. You can find it at dansgate.com. And it is rather new, and I'm thinking about that. Maybe a good place. I already have a personal profile there under Robert Bierman. I need to change that to Bob, because that's what people know me. And also Truth to Ponder. And it's Truth, the word, to and ponder. And you'll find us there as well. Or did I do it as Truth, the number two, ponder? Well, I can't remember, but you can try both ways. You'll see my picture in front of a microphone. Speaking of microphones, we're looking at changing the one that we have. Even with the current pop filter that we have on it, this microphone it's okay. It's better for other purposes like recording music at a distance. It's not really a vocal mic. It does all right. But we're looking at one that is designed, and we really need to consider this one, a microphone that can work both in a studio environment and also has the USB capability when we have to take the program, which we're going to have to do in the not too distant future, on the road. Where I can use it with my, you know, old laptop and the microphone and a pair of headphones and the materials that I've got, and we can take the program on the road. May not be able to do interviews, but at least we can keep up. So those are things we're considering, and I found one that I think will work great and also allow close usage without all the background noise that we tend to get with the microphone that I'm currently using. So just a few things, some housekeeping stuff here at the beginning of the program. Take a little time right now, as we're going through some news stories, and think about if you could go back in time to a place and your life really didn't change, you kind of stayed growing up in that time, even into adulthood, and the world and the technology and everything kind of stayed the same. Is there a place that would be a place you'd like to go to? There are even times I've wondered, because I love old-time radio, what would it have been like having been born, let's say, 30 years or so before I was born, or 35 or 40 years before I was my regular time, that I was born in 54. What if I'd been born in, let's say, 1918? Would have I been a broadcast engineer? Would have I been involved in the golden age of radio? Or have I been born maybe in the 40s? Would have I, did my disc jockey career in the 60s instead of the 70s? Just things that I've thought about and I want you to think about, and then I'll explain why a little later in the program. Looking at some of the news stories, and sometimes I feel bad that I don't get to all of them like I wish I could. I see things, a lot of our good friends of this radio program will send me links, materials, and videos, and it's hard to, I'm going to tell you, if you knew how many video links that I am sent every day by wonderful listeners, unfortunately, there's only so many hours in the day, and I've got to spend a few of them putting this program together. It's not that I sit down for 1 hour. There is prep time, editing time, then distribution and writing up a little summation for the podcast and then uploading to those locations. So there is a bit of time involved in getting the show out each week, each day, actually. I used to think it was bad and I complained a little bit. Man, I got this radio show to do every weekend. And now that the Lord opened up the door to do it every day, yeah, it's a lot more work. But you know something? I believe it's worth it. I don't charge for my time. We just pay for the airtime. God just laid on my heart to be a voice. I'm not the biggest voice by far, but I am a voice. Read a story that talked about Facebook. Good old Facebook. A time bandit, if there ever was one. And I'm as guilty as a lot of people. You start reading stuff and you're in your groups and your rooms for a lot of what I do. Some of the stuff has to do with my church body, others for a few hobbies that I have. I have tried, and I'm working hard on it. I've got a lot of friends, and some I've had to get rid of. I hate to say that, because I don't want to get into political debate on Facebook anymore. I just don't want to do politics on Facebook much anymore. I get stuck with it occasionally, but I'm not liking it. And it's because Facebook is now fascist book, in my opinion. They've decided that they are a one-party, one-ideology platform. And I feel like I'm working around it now. Twitter, I've already dumped. I am out of Twitter. I am done with Twitter. Sorry, I just don't have time for it. And this program used to have a Twitter account. I have killed it. And I did the same for a couple of other things. I just don't want to do Twitter. The man that runs it, just I find obnoxious, dishonest, untruthful. The man just despises conservatives. And he gets in front of Congress and he lies through his teeth and gets away with it. So I'm not going to support a liar. I'm not going to support a reprobate in any shape, manner, or form. One less person he can make money off of. Not that it's going to affect his bottom line, but maybe if enough people say enough of Twitter, it's a waste, it's a time bandit. And you can sit there and argue with people that put a tweet out, but, if they got 5,000 followers, they're never going to see what your complaint is, so just be done with it. Besides, most of the people that are the big stars on Twitter are people that I could care less about following. But I'm reading this story about, good old Facebook, or fascist book, as I tend to call it. And there's a guy by the name of Benny Thomas. Now, he's involved with the global planning in Facebook. And you may have seen this video already by now. I'm looking at this story, and I would say by the time you're hearing this broadcast, there's a good chance the Project Veritas video of a lengthy conversation has come out. Maybe you don't get a chance to see that, but I'm just going to share a very few highlights with you of that conversation. Benny Thomas said that, you know, he was part of their global planning lead. In other words, a pretty big position, well-paying, I'm certain. Even he knows we need to break up Facebook. As he says, he may make less money, but so when you realize that Instagram, Facebook Messenger, Oculus, and WhatsApp, all of those need to be separate companies. They're all owned by Facebook. And he said a lot of people don't understand these things and people don't think about them, which is why a lot of strange things happen. I'm not going to use the word he used, because a lot of people just aren't paying attention. And he says there's no king in the history of the world that's been the ruler of 2 billion with a B people. Think about that. There is no king in the history of the world that has been the ruler of 2 billion people. But Mark Zuckerberg is, and he's only 36, and that's a lot for a 36-year-old. He shouldn't have that kind of power over 2 billion people. Even the guy that worked for him says it's just wrong. There's always built in an algorithm, etc., for bias. Human beings wrote that code. And Thomas goes on to say, we're looking at algorithms, but it's such a massive and complicated thing that it takes time to fix. He worries about artificial intelligence, how it's going to grow, how it begins to monitor. Do you understand with Facebook and Twitter what has changed in the last 10 or 11 years? Now, 10 years ago, when I did a lot with Facebook because of my work in emergency management, Facebook was new, just getting started. And back then, nobody got censored, and you weren't slapped down, and you weren't put in Facebook jail. Now it's becoming a regular thing for a lot of my friends. They disappear for a week or a month at a clip. I know one guy in the last 5 years has had 30-day, he spent 2 years being in Facebook jail out of the last 5 years. And every time he gets out, he goes right back in. And what gets him in trouble? Telling the truth. Simply telling the truth. No more, no less. Facebook hates truth if it's not their truth. That's why I see a danger with Facebook. One of the things he bragged about, Mr. Thomas, Benny Thomas, one thing he was very involved with was the voter registration drive. And he goes, he knows that with all the influence that Facebook put into the election, all Zuckerberg's money to Democrat cities and counties, they really believe that they pushed Joe Biden over the line. And I think they did it illegally. And the fact that we don't have a federal election commission investigation shows the sorry state of justice that we no longer have in the United States. I mean, that's we're down to no justice. It's gone. There's none left. We have the best justice system money can buy. Actually, it's just a legal system. Don't even use the word justice. It shouldn't be the United States Department of Justice. It should be the United States Department of Legal Bureaucracy. We don't have a justice system. It was co-opted years ago. The IRS has been used as a weapon and a tool. You know it and I know it. Speaking about how Facebook fraudulently got involved and put Zuckerberg spent $450 million? 36-year-old multi-billion with a B heir. He has more money than he'll ever be able to spend, but he wants more power. He wants to control your life. And this is a very great danger. And when you're on Facebook by the hour looking at the ads and you don't realize you're being manipulated and you're just throwing money into his pocket, You know, facts and proof and evidence. One thing I've learned in recent months, facts, evidence, and proof. None of it matters anymore to the left when they can say with a straight face that in spite of everything you can see, oh, the election was fair and honest in 2020, back in 2020, all fair and square, no problem at all. Everything was great. I'm going to tell you, I am convinced you can't change my mind otherwise that this was a fair election. I'm beginning to see the chinks in the armor in the state of Georgia where we spend a lot of our time. I know the state quite well. And we have been poorly served in Georgia by Governor Kemp, Brian Kemp. I really believe it. And even more so by Raffensperger, the Secretary of State. What's going to happen? I've got an individual that I know quite well, or know fairly well anyway. Now, maybe not as well as I'd like to, but I know that he spent some time right after the election because they knew that allegedly Trump had lost Georgia. And now we have these other races coming up in January for the Senate. And he was a part of a group that went around the state of Georgia looking at some of the addresses given for mail-in ballots. And he went to an area of the state which is rather rural, very rural, to be quite honest. And he had these addresses and street names and road numbers. And he's just trying to match up some of these last minute, you know, mail-in ballot stuff. People coming in to, you know, have all these voter things filled out and dumped into these small counties. And everything gets picked up and distributed. And he's finding roads that have these address numbers on them. And when you get to where that number should be, there's no home there, just a forest or a field. Maybe a cow pasture. Nobody lives there. Nobody has ever lived there. And you start finding dozens. He's found dozens by himself, just on one road. That's 12 fake ballots, but that doesn't sound like a lot, does it? Well, that's just what he checked. Others have checked other areas, and they find even more. Georgia has 150-some-odd counties. I can't even remember what, 153 or 159. I never keep it straight, and I should know better. I live here part of the time. Let's just say 150 counties. If 100 fake voters from each county, 100 fake voters, filled out fraudulent applications to phony addresses in fields in every county. That's like a small county like where we live in the mountains, Rabun County, Georgia. We have a population of around 20-some-odd thousand in the county. If somehow 100 phony ballots were pushed in to Rabun County, if just 100 phony ballots were pushed into Fulton County that has millions of people, or Fayette County, or Gwinnett County, or Taillefer County. I can go down all the counties in the state. Little Stevens County, Georgia, Hart County, Elbert County. If 100 phony ballots could be pushed in each of these counties, you'd have close to 15,000 to 16,000 phony votes. How many votes did Trump lose in Georgia? About 16,000. So you'll never convince me this was a fair and square election. Stacey Abrams pushed a massive fraud on the state of Georgia and got the worthless, garbagey Secretary of State to sign off because he's a rhino. He didn't like Trump anyway. He didn't care. It's funny. He couldn't fix it between the presidential election and the Senate election because there was too many eyeballs on him. and he's too busy screaming how fair and square it was. We can't investigate. No, you cannot look at the ballots to see if there are valid signatures in Fulton County on, 100,000 ballots. No, it's fair and square. You can't. Don't you dare sully my reputation. We're going to get to another story on him in a few minutes also. I'm telling you, you look at what happened in Georgia alone. And I know that Wayne County, Michigan, you can't tell me what they did up there was fair and square. You look at the places that he should have won, and it's all lost by ballots we don't know where they came from. Like the abandoned fields and the cotton fields of middle Georgia. I'm telling you, there's this mindset right now among the left. Now, they want you to, if you dare challenge the idea that that Biden didn't get his 80 million votes, they want you canceled. There's actually a Southern Baptist pastor who kind of changed his name a while back. I'm trying to find it here in all these papers that I've got in front of me. That says that his name is Thabiti Anbuwile, better known to the discernment camp as Ron Burns. He changed his, which is his birth name, Ron Burns. But he wanted to self-identify with Islamic black nationalist. Okay. And he took to Twitter, another waste of your time, to call out all the white evangelicals who take issues with a dishonest presidential election, and he calls it a spiritual cancer. The fact that he doesn't want to even investigate to find the truth shows a greater spiritual cancer to me. I don't get it. Hide the ballots. No, you can't look. Yes, it was honest, but you can't check it out. You're never allowed to double check. How dare you challenge us? And if you do, you're immediately labeled what? Can we say it together? A racist. That's the new term. That's the spiritual cancer we actually have. The spiritual cancer that is being pushed by the left that wants God out of your life. It's like I told you on Monday's broadcast. Mississippi. School. Girl wears a face mask, says, I love Jesus. She has to take it off. But in California, they want the students to say a chant to a pagan Aztec Indian god. I mean, you have to do it now. I mean, this is kind of the foolishness going on in our world. That, to me, is a major spiritual cancer. And now I looked at a story in the Washington Times by Charles Kirk. Washington, you know, is really a racist place when you think about it now. I mean, we have a really white old guy as president, if he really is the president. I think he's nothing but a puppet, and I would love to know who's pulling the strings. But Biden is living proof when it comes to our federal government, according to Charlie Kirk. No matter how dumb you are, how wrong you've always been, how many times you screwed up, if you're just white enough and willing to wait around, the kingship will eventually be yours. Face it, Biden was rejected multiple times over the years by voters, mostly of his own party, in his endless quest for the presidency in his, going on 50 years in D.C. Can you imagine? 47, 48 years in Washington, and he never accomplished anything except running his mouth and plagiarizing. And now he's the president, allegedly, with 80 million votes, no doubt. So they tell us. From the farms and the fields of Georgia, at least 16,000 that we probably can guess are fraudulent. I really think there's probably 50 or 60,000 fraudulent votes in Georgia alone. That's just me. But I'm pretty convinced. When you live here, yeah, I'm convinced. I noticed one thing Georgia has done before I get back to the story. Suddenly, the legislature is on full you know, we got to fix it mode. Remember, Raffensperger did something illegal. He made deals with Stacey Abrams to change the rules under the guise of a pandemic. Only according to the Constitution can the legislature of the state make those changes, not the Secretary of State. But these Secretary of States and governors all over the country broke the law of their own states. And our worthless Supreme Court, because of Justice, I must be compromised, Roberts, there's something wrong with that man. He is no conservative at all. He's a danger, I believe, to this country. I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg was intellectually vastly more honest than Justice Roberts. I have a greater respect for Ruth Bader Ginsburg than I do for the phony, compromised Justice Roberts. To watch Biden these days, fumbling through everything, and the media just gives him a pass on everything he does. I don't get it. Do you? His press secretary is always out there trying to cover for him. I'm amazed. They try to deny that there's an issue on our southern border. He invited everybody from Central America, come on over. We're now finding 10% of those coming across the line supposedly have COVID-19. You know, the disease that we're all scared about and have to wear a face mask till who knows when. Biden has his Build Back Better is going to be to destroy what little we have left of our freedoms. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Getting back to our messy Secretary of State here in Georgia, where I'm recording this program. An official with the Georgia Secretary of State's office was the only source for that big story that falsely, incorrectly claimed that former President Donald Trump had told an investigator with the office to find the fraud. Turns out a guy by the name of Jordan Fuchs, who is the Deputy Secretary of State, relayed details of that conversation with the Georgia Secretary of State to the conversation he had on the phone with then President Trump. And he gave all this information to the Washington Post and CNN and others. But there was one major problem with Deputy Jordan Fuchs' assessment of that conversation and giving quotes and everything else. He was never on that phone call. Never heard it. A recording of the call has come out, and it shows that everything that was said was a flat-out lie. And remember, from our failed Secretary of State, the Rhino Republican, Fuchs did not present details of the conversation correctly. He just gave his thoughts, his opinion, which suddenly became the quotes. And that was part of the phony second impeachment by another intellectually, morally, and spiritually bankrupt individual, our Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, another traitor to the United States that ought to be charged as such. Two phony impeachments. Hey, remember Vindman? You know, Colonel Vindman. Yeah, remember him? The guy that lied through his teeth. He was really the one that started that whole process and created the phony whistleblower. No wonder. And that's something else. How the Democrats got pulled that off and got away with it. Obviously, our Justice Department under our legal department, it's not a Justice Department, even under Bill Barr, was corrupt. No doubt in my mind about it. Very corrupt. Very disappointing. Very sad. Yeah, you have that phony impeachment. And all the Democrats that were bringing the charges, they were all in on on the fix. They were all in. They colluded together to bring you a big lie and call it an impeachment. The fact that they are not in prison and being charged with sedition shows we have no justice left in the United States. I'll tell you a little bit more. Let's see. Let me finish up. We might be just a moment late for the break, but that's okay. You have this failed Secretary of State, Raffensperger, a rhino. And he says, Fuchs didn't present details of the conversation as verbatim. They're trying to cover like, well, you know, but why did the Washington Post, why did everybody CNN, why did everybody quote it verbatim? And then they make an impeachment out of it when what was said was not what was said. Yeah, the Associated Post and the Associated Press and the Washington Compost didn't answer the questions. And so is Fuchs still the source? I mean, he basically spun a tale, got it out there in the media, and has started an impeachment proceeding along with what they call the insurrection at the Capitol. There's a lot about that story we don't know, too, and I'm finding it extremely disturbing. You know, back when I was in college, back in the Stone Ages, I learned one thing about journalism. An anonymous source or a single source that can't provide you something that's a worthy document is not enough. You need at least two sources. I guess today, because CNN doesn't care about journalism or ethics anymore, just politics, I guess anything goes. I think maybe Trump was right. CNN, The Washington Post, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, all of them, New York Times, they are truly phony and fake news.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
An old taxi and modern man. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now the story is told of a famous British public figure who was on his way to a meeting of the British Association in Dublin. He arrived late at the coach station. He hurriedly jumped into the coach and ordered the coachman, "Drive fast." The coachman stirred up the horses and the coach took off, speeding through the city streets. A while later, the passenger turned to the coachman and said, "Do you know where you're going?" The coachman answered with a smile, "No, I don't know where we're going, but I'm driving very fast." That's a perfect picture of modern man. We're all rushing. We're all racing faster and faster. Our lives are so hurried. We're so busy racing through life, we have no time. Is that you? You find yourself driven through life, racing, rushing, always trying to make ends meet, striving and struggling, and yet never having enough time or anything else. You're driving fast, but you don't know where. The first thing you need to do is stop. Don't go any further without knowing where you're going. All the more when you're rushing to get there. Slow down. Stop. Take a break. Take a day off. Take some time with God. Ask him if this is what you're supposed to be doing with your life. He might tell you no or yes, but you're doing it all wrong. Be open to change. Stop living a life that is driven. And start living a life that is led by the Spirit. As it is written, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with shalom, with peace. And now the free gift for you, my friend, the mystery of the temple doors. You'll love it. And sapphires with the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Special teachings, updates on Israel, world events and prophecy, and the secrets of strength and victory for every day of your life. How do you get all these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus's real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's all you do. You just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be really blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and all the unreached peoples on five continents with over a billion people. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. I'd love to hear from you. And you just write to The Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111. And that's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. And the zip is 07644. It's The Nice Jewish Boy. It's Box 1111 in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. And the zip, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, and Messiah, Or HaOlam, the light of the world.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
I want to welcome you back to part two of our program today. I'm your host, Bob Bierman, on Truth to Ponder. If you believe in the work that we're doing, would you let me know? And we need to hear from you as we try to finish out this month and decide where the program will air in the month of April. You can either go to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, and you can also use our mailing address currently here in Georgia. It's 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. That's our secure P.O. box, number 263, in the city of Sky Valley, small little town, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. Love to hear from you. If you want to help out, you can make a check payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio. And I'll give the address one more time before the end of the program today. You can also help from the website as well, if you so desire. You know, last week, I mentioned this earlier. I did this yesterday, but I want to just add a few more thoughts about, and then we'll get to what I was talking about where I started the program today, about if you could go back and freeze time and live in a certain period, whether in your lifetime, maybe even what you've read about times before, when would that be? We'll get to that in just a moment, and I'll explain why. But I keep going back to that very morbid speech last week from Joe Biden. And he did this on the first anniversary of all the, the pandemic being declared. And it was really a very unhopeful speech. What little hope was given, it's still dark, and it's still follow the rules, wear your mask, do this, do that. Read a study, the CDC, the CDC, to me, is such a political agency, I don't give them any credibility anymore. What credibility they had is lost. People complained last year when President Trump cut their budget. Well, it was cutting the political wing of their budget. Too much politics at the CDC. Too much bureaucracy at the CDC. It needs a house cleaning of the highest order. Because studies will come out showing how worthless wearing these piece of papers or, bandanas or whatever you can buy, how bad they are. And I read, and I may share on tomorrow's program, from a real doctor, a real surgeon with 10,000 surgeries under his belt, why he thinks that one of the dumbest things we've done during this pandemic is putting a face muzzle on. Hasn't done any good. They think maybe best case scenario, there may have been a 1% difference by wearing a mask versus not. But that had an error rate of, plus or minus 2%. So, it may have been zero. But President Biden, keeps the sadness and the fear alive. I go into stores and I look at people with their, dutifully putting on their, driving their cars with a face mask, because that coronavirus is going to chase you down. I saw a picture someone shared on Facebook. I know I try not to waste too much time there, but this was worth it. A guy wearing no helmet riding a motorcycle, but wearing a face mask. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Those nasty coronaviruses can chase a motorcycle. Apparently. We got to make sure that when you stop at that traffic light, that it doesn't catch up and fly up your nose. That speech of Biden, designed to tell you he is in control of your life and you can do only things in your life when he gives you permission. the message is clear. We only get back little bits of our freedom when he says we've done what we're supposed to do. He laid out things like, you remember, look, last year a lot of weddings were canceled or had to become virtual, birthdays, graduations. Had a daughter graduated college last year. Well, there, guess what? There's no graduation exercise. Family reunions. The things we did on Sunday, going to church together, couldn't do it. Somehow, the authoritarian government officials, who, by the way, they kept getting their paychecks when the waitress struggling to make ends meet couldn't get hers, or a business, a small restaurant, had to shutter their doors, still pay the rent. Hundreds of thousands of businesses are broke, bankrupt, never coming back. It's funny, COVID-19, if you look at the numbers right now, it's gradually disappearing as our winter comes to an end and we have a more accurate way of testing. See, I told you yesterday and I'll remind you again, we had a phony methodology of testing. The cycle thresholds were way too high, and using only a PCR test became an instant case. But many of those people never had symptoms. Oh, but those are the asymptomatic spreaders. That's why everybody must wear their face muzzle and walk around with your head down in sadness and fear of the virus as you only go to Walmart or any other approved big box store that made billions of dollars in profit last year. So COVID is disappearing. The number of people dying is dropping rapidly. Maybe we're actually counting it more accurately, too. There's no way you'll ever convince me from things that I've seen firsthand that 500,000 or 540, whatever it is, died because of COVID only. Didn't happen. And so Biden gives us that little gem of hope, that little glimmer of hope, when he said,
if we do all this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout and a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. That doesn't mean large events with lots of people together, but it does mean small groups will be able to get together. After this long, hard year, that will make this Independence Day something truly special.
So my question is, do we wear our little face coverings outside by the barbecue? What is it, about 15 minutes we're allowed to gather together, maybe two or three of us, and keep 10 feet apart, and we can celebrate our freedom. Freedom. America has lost freedom. We gave it up willingly, not just this past year, but we've been giving it away gradually for decades. We've allowed our government to grow beyond the imagination and the limits of the Constitution of the United States. The federal government is now involved in dozens, hundreds, perhaps thousands of things never intended by the founding fathers for them to be involved with. We now have a legal department, not a justice department. We now have woke people in the military that are avowed leftist, hate conservatives, hated Trump. I'm becoming to the point, I'm afraid of my government because they're full of liars, cheaters, Satanists. Just some of the most unsavory people are now leading this nation, pretending they're ruling this nation. You are their subject. You're no longer, they don't work for you anymore. Listen to the attitude of anything that comes out of the mouth of Joe Biden, anything that comes out of the mouth of anybody in the cabinet, out of the mouth of Nancy Pelosi, out of the mouth of any of them. Today, you are their plebe. You are the unworthy subjects. And they are your glorified masters. It wasn't always that way. They used the pandemic. They moved the goalpost. And Fauci lied week after week after week, just making it up. He didn't know. So, yeah, I think we need to have social distancing, or we need to do this, need to do that. You got public school teachers in California will not go back to school because they're afraid the little kids. Here's what the CDC is recommending: that two-year-olds wear a face covering, even if they're vaccinated, to go back to daycare. These people are certifiably insane, or they have sold their soul to Satan one. Because nobody with reasonable intelligence can go along with this nonsense any longer. The vaccine, I'm not taking it. I've got my reasons. I don't even go into conspiracy theories. I'm just saying this is new technology. We've never done this on this kind of a scale with human beings before. Nobody knows the long-term effect. I'm not even going to go into the numbers of those that have had bad reactions or even some that have died. Oh, they'll say it didn't happen because of the vaccine, even though it happened right after or very shortly thereafter, and they were healthy individuals. Put all that aside. We don't know the long-term effect of a messenger RNA. If our founding fathers heard Joe Biden saying, you know, maybe by the 4th of July, a couple of your neighbors can gather in the backyard for a barbecue. You know, not a big gathering now, you know, two or three, wear your face mask, social distance, pretend everybody out there is an infected thing that's out to kill you, and treat them as such. Yeah, 10 days to flatten the curve was, you know, 365 days to destroy a nation. We watched a stolen election. We've watched people being turned into criminals that were the kind of people you could trust. I asked the question at the beginning of the program, when would you want to go back and live? Anytime prior to the Democrats taking the House and the Senate in 2018, or the House anyway. Anytime we didn't have despicable lowlives doing phony impeachments. You know, the world has not always been a great place. I mean, I can think our memories can deceive us a little bit, but I can remember. Would I go back to, let's say, 1972, my first job at a radio station just out of high school before going on to tech school? Could I freeze my life there? Perhaps. I felt free. I didn't feel controlled and owned by my government. I had hopes and dreams that I could achieve. Same in 1973, 75, 77, 1985, even up to the 1990s. Even into the early 2000s. But something changed. Something started to change. And one by one, our freedom slipped away. I know that in 1972, the Vietnam War was still going, so it wasn't a perfect world. I know there was still prejudice. There was still riots. I can remember students being shot by the National Guard at Kent State. I can remember a lot of those things. We put those out of our mind. But you want to know something? I think part of our problem today is we get too connected, too dependent on the media, and we're too easily brainwashed. In the last 30 years, the number of people that are people of faith has diminished significantly. A number of formerly Bible-believing church bodies have thrown away the scripture and come into what I call satanic wokeism. This wokeism cancel culture is satanically driven. Don't ever think that it isn't. We live in a very dangerous time. Are we coming into the Great Tribulation? I don't know. Are we coming into a time of tribulation and persecution for Christians? You bet. The United States has never, since its founding, had times such as this where Christians, conservatives, family people are now the enemy and they're despised by the left and the rulers of this nation that think they are gods. They don't believe they work for the people. They believe you are their subjects. The billionaire class think you are nothing but market to make them wealthy. And you should thank them. Sure, I can remember that time in my life, the other times even as growing up. I can think of other times maybe in our history would have been fun to live in when there was still freedom. We are no longer a free nation. The day is going to come that you're going to have your vaccine certificate. We'll see. It's already happening in Israel. And I'm afraid it may happen here. Are you ready for the persecution to come? Or are you one of those type that think that it's all going to get better? Many of the things, yeah, it was a lot easier in the past. But even then, the sin of mankind was still there. We still were a sinful people, a sinful nation before God. The difference is we didn't flaunt it on Main Street, and we didn't put it on, you know, like the Grammy Awards the other night on CBS. Despicable pornography on television is now the accepted norm. And if you disagree with that, then you're the problem. Yeah, Dr. Seuss bad. Cardi B and her filthy language and filthy, despicable, disgusting lyrics, they're fine. They're protected. This world is not getting better. And if you believe that it does, all I can remind you of is I can remember this song from way back in the early 1970s. I'm working at a radio station in South Carolina. And it may have been a song about a relationship gone bad, but it really fits a nation in deep trouble from those that can't see the trouble that lies ahead.
I don't know. I can't find one good reason for staying. Maybe my leaving would be the best for you. But these rose-colored glasses that I'm looking through show I used to hear when I held you, and they keep me from feeling so cheated, defeated, when reflections in your eyes show me a fool. These rose-colored glasses. Times of trying, you'll believe me when I say I love you, and I'll lay these rose-colored
I think it's time we take off our rose-colored glasses and really look at the world that we have today for what it is. We're never going to fix it simply at the ballot box. I've said that so many times before on this program, that too many people that get involved in spiritual warfare believe that all we need to do is vote in the right people. Well, we've learned you can't even do that anymore because elections get stolen. The Satanists, the leftists, the progressives, those who want to control your children, feed the misinformation and lies and brainwash them to rip them away from the love of their God, the love of Jesus Christ, and substitute paganism, substitute pornography, yeah. The times 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, in spite of all the difficulties, they were better. But even then, you have to put on rose-colored glasses to realize that all the ingredients to get us to where we are today were already there. The Episcopal Church didn't change in one afternoon, or one morning, or one week. It, like many other formerly Bible-believing denominations, changed over a period of 30 and 40 years. We let it occur. We all just tried to get along. Oh, we don't want to have an argument. Let's just learn how to tolerate each other, then accept each other, and now we're forced to embrace it. Sin that used to be preached against in the church in some churches is now openly celebrated, spitting in the face of Jesus Christ in the process when they do it. And they run around in their churches with their fine vestments and their rose-colored glasses, thinking Jesus approves. We are coming into a time of tribulation in this nation. Whether it's the great one or not remains to be seen. But we're coming into this time because it's God's judgment. The stench of abortion has been with us since 1973. And many good church-going people chose to look the other way. The worship of this planet, which has been pushed upon us for over 25 to 30 years now, is going to be our destruction. After all, those that worship the creation and not the Creator will be given over to a reprobate mind. And that is what is ruling the United States today, the reprobate mind. We'll talk about that further tomorrow. If you believe in what we're doing, would you consider helping us out? Any gift will do to pay for the airtime. I am not paid. A check made out to Ancient Word Radio, or you can even help from the website. The mailing address is 21 Berkshire, Berkshire, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, in Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537. Until tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.